so careful when I see the red light go live, because sometimes I'm badly singing here and very off key, and they're like, oh God, I don't need the nation to hear that. That was Don't Go by the Hothouse Flowers, and they're a band that's played a big part in Ireland's rock history, something that we're about to explore right now. Riding the wave of the showband era, rock broke across Ireland in the 60s, and sure, what better way to talk through those moments than with the man who made it happen, host of the History of Irish Rock on Radio 1, Mr. Dave Fanning. Thank you for coming in. I'm looking forward to getting an education, as always, from you.
That's not an education now, Hannah, for God's sake.
It is,
everybody was there, or anybody who was there.
Well, I wasn't there, so that's why. It was a bit before my time.
Not for the bits you've just mentioned, all right. In fact, funny thing is, on the programme that we have on Thursday nights, which is on tonight, number, oh my God, is it number 6 tonight? I think it is, of 10 altogether, on Radio 1. The Hothouse Flowers one is actually introduced, not by me on the programme, but by Pat Kenny, because he introduced them live on the Eurovision. So that's the bit we use. We use various bits from, like, for instance, like the death of Phil Lynott is Leo Enright on the 2FM News, or the death of Rory Gallagher is, I've forgotten. Oh, no, the death of Rory Gallagher is Gerry Ryan's show, and lots of people talking to Gerry the next morning, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, and we're going to play actually some of those clips here now in a few moments. But I suppose you've said that the show was less of a history of, nearly like more of a journey
through
exactly
rock.
It. So tell us a little
bit
about the
show. If you go on a journey through it, therefore you don't get blamed for leaving stuff out.
you can pick out like, the highlights.
And not include whatever. Very
yes,
simple, really.
Of course.
I mean, the thing is, like, it's 10 hours. I suppose it's about, let's just say there's about 100 songs in it. I don't know, in the whole thing. We would have 200 songs if we only did 2.5 minutes per song, which actually mightn't be a bad idea in a sort of a documentary style programme like this. And maybe next time round I might do that. So there's a lot not in it. But of course, all the stuff that's in it is absolutely brilliant and I love it.
But let's talk a little bit about, I suppose, you helped so many of Ireland's most famous rock bands find their audience, really at a time like when Ireland wasn't particularly ready for them. Like, what was Ireland like when it came to embracing rock music?
Well, no, the first thing was, like, I mean, you could nearly say it's 60 years old this year.
Yeah.
Because in April of 64, Van Morrison went into a studio and did Baby Please Don't Go. And then Rory came along later. Mm-hmm. Both those people were in the show bands. They were in show bands too. Like, you know, Van Morrison was in the Monarchs and Rory was in the Fontana. We have a bit of the Fontana on the programme. And by the way, if you've missed the first 6, you can get them on the player. That's where you'll get all that.
Nice.
And then Philo. And Philo is the other one who's in the Black Eagles. And in fact, oddly enough, Van Morrison was in a band called the Golden Eagles. But all of those three, I see them as the triumvirate, late 60s, it brings it all into where it should be, and it's Phil Lynott, Van Morrison and Rory Gallagher, and you can argue all night about who else I've left out, but I don't care.
Well, actually, let's take the first clip now. It is a bit of Phil, and you know who you say was, like you said, part of that trifecta of Irish rock. Let's have a listen.
She plays it hard, she plays it tough, but that's enough, the love is over. She's broke his heart and that is rough, but in the end it's a
like Phil Lynott. I mean, it's like in 1984, he rang me up and asked me to come out of his house because he wanted to give me his book of what he would call poetry, whatever. It's just his lyrics, like the collected works of Phil Lynott. And I went out to the house and he signed this thing, a beautiful sort of dedication. It was really nice of him. Then we went down the beach afterwards for about an hour and he was going on about the fact that things aren't going well. He had a band at the time called the Greedy Bastards and ex-Sex Pistols people and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to get it together. I'm going to get a few musicians and I'm going to skip England. I'm going to go to America. And we have a few ideas. And he died within a year. Now, the point about it is also is that, like, that book that he gave me.
Where is it?
I left it on the table there, but I took one of the other ones that he had signed with just his name. So I do have it at home, filled in it, but not the big dedication. But it was very sad, terrible stuff.
Yeah, you know? No, it really was. And like, I suppose, you know, your show kind of moves through the era. So let's do the same here now as well. Like the 70s, it brought with it a new genre, like punk. Irish talent was really on show here through Horselips, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Horselips to me were 1970 to 1980 and they towered over it all. They really did because they played every single toilet, let alone dance hall all over Ireland constantly. They were also pretty big in places like Germany. They made a big name in England. They made a big name in America. Not huge, but like they were 1970 and they kind of ended in 1980. They were those 10 years and they were great.
We've a little bit there now of Boomtown Rats.
And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Whoa, 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 whoa. Tell me why. I don't like Mondays. Tell me why. I don't like Mondays. Tell me why. I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. Ooh, 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 ooh. day down.
Of course, they were a huge part of the decade. They made it into the UK charts as well, didn't they?
They made it into the UK charts and had two number ones, which is more than you can say for almost any other band around in terms of like that were supposedly punk or new wave, whatever it was. No, the whole attitude thing from Geldof was just perfect. And the first album and second album were just fantastic. They slightly petered out by about 84, but then they were there for the big Live Aid thing in 85 and Self Aid, obviously, in 86 as well.
Am I right in saying that you started in pirate radio in around the late 70s?
Absolutely. I did indeed, yeah.
God, so you've been there through the
music.
Decades.
Yeah.
Exactly, absolutely supporting them. Like, where were people getting their rock music at the time then? Like, and where did they hear
Ken
the new
Stewart
band?
Had a programme on RT Radio 1, and that's really almost the size of it in so many ways, of just up specifically that kind of music, whatever this new music at the time was. I mean, it wasn't rock and roll, it was called rock or whatever, and it was taken very seriously and maybe shouldn't have been, but all that kind of thing. That's the place where I would have got some stuff in terms of Irish radio. But obviously, there was the thing on every night, five nights a week from 7 to 8 on BBC Radio 1 called Sounds of the 70s. There was lots of stuff on BBC as well from other things. And obviously the Pirates and Radio Caroline and all that sort of stuff.
And let's move to the 80s, because that brought international gigs with it as well. Of course, Live Aid was a global event, but also Self Aid happened later that year in Dublin, didn't it? I want to hear a little bit of this clip because you feature in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you are now. Have you no homes to go to, for God's sake? All right, listen. Everybody in Ireland is watching you right now. From Wexford to Donegal, from Belfast to Kerry, they're all watching a great day. You've been a fantastic audience. So answer me this. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you want to see a band from Dublin?
Yeah.
Do you want to see a band that you know and I know to be the greatest live rock band in the world? Well, standing behind me right now, it's Adam, it's Bono, it's Larry, it's The Edge, it's you two!
What an introduction. I love
Bit
how
sad,
you start.
Really.
Have you no homes to go to?
Well, I mean, it was a full day. Like, it started about 10 in the morning or something, and this was like, whatever it was, 10 at night.
Yeah.
So it was a full thing on TV all day.
I was wondering how long it would take for us to mention the U2 lads, because let's face it, I mean, they were.
Well,
a
funny
sensation.
Thing is, like, they do dominate, and from the late 70s when they started off, and then it goes into the 80s and they released their first stuff, and they just got bigger and bigger and bigger than anybody else ever had. So what we've done with these 10 programmes is, I think, in fact, that's the only mention, I think, of U2 and the whole first 9 programmes.
Really?
They get in the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah.
They open the door, so get out of the way, Bono, Larry, and The Edge, and let the others through. That's really so the 10th programme, we just decided the best thing to do was just do a full U2 special, which is simply of about 30 or 40 interviews that I've done with the band, just 2 or 3 minute snippets about 15 or 20 times, and the music as well. It starts in 2014, goes back to 1979 before he even released a first single, all that, and there's bits and pieces all over the place. So that's well worth, I don't know what date that'll be. That'll be the second Thursday in September, because it's the last program.
You've great memory there. Well, actually, speaking of snippets, we have a bit of U2 here.
And you give yourself away. And you give yourself away. And you give. And you give. And you give yourself away. With or without you. With or without you.
Like, sticking with the 80s then, like, what else is happening in Irish rock at the time?
First of all, when you mentioned the 70s, like, there's two distinct bits. It's almost like prog for the first few years, and then there's punk. So it wasn't as broken down like that as the 80s were. But I mean, I'm even looking at some of the 80s programs, like, as you say, like, you know, there's Thin Lizzy still in terms of music, Paul Brady and That Petrol Emotion and Cactus World News, you know, Live Aid and Self Aid, as you say, Aslan, A House, Something Happens, Micro Disney, Hot House Flowers. They're all in the 80s kind of program. That one of the bigger programs is the 9th program, which would be the first Thursday in September, which is the diaspora people that a lot of people don't know. And I've interviewed everybody from Bruce Springsteen to David Bowie to Kate Bush, Elvis Costello folks, and all of these have Irish ancestry things. I mean, did you know even the Christina Aguilera Irish kind of background in terms of her parents being Irish parents?
Yeah, I knew. I heard a smidgen of an Irish accent in there.
How about, you know, Robbie Williams, Dusty Springfield. So like the Smiths, every single one of their parents are Irish somewhere along the way, you know. And Mariah Carey, mother from Cork and all that kind of thing, you know. So I mean, that's a good one in terms of just little, it can only only be snippets of interviews because it's only an hour long. We've got to play the music.
But you have,
well,
it's almost like 50% of music, 50% of interviews. Yeah, it's really interesting that way. Really, so you have a good fusion of both.
Yeah. In fact, the only one that I didn't interview of all those is Kate Bush. I did interview her, but we didn't use that. We used Gay Byrne on the Late Late Show talking to her. And your father is from what? He's a doctor, isn't he? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, in fairness now, anytime you can throw a little bit of Gay Byrne into it as well, you're not doing too bad. Are you a festival man?
I am. I mean, I was there last week. I mean, was it last Saturday week at the All Together Now once again? And I'll be there this weekend. I'm not going to ACD. Like, there's going to be, what, 300,000, 400,000 people going to gigs this weekend. Yeah. ACDC is 80,000 at Croke Park. And then the fest, at least the picnic, I'll go to that. Yeah, oh, yeah, I will, yeah.
Okay, well,
I'm not necessarily going to see bands and that. You go, these days you go to a festival to go to the festival. And it's great to have music at it. It used to be you went to music.
As a music man now, would you kind of have your lineup sorted?
Like, no, not necessarily. No,
wow.
I remember one year I was at the Electric Picnic and I passed by a tent and there were three guys playing music. It was like Nirvana with no vocalist. I think they were American. They might have been English. It was absolutely brilliant. There weren't many in the tent. To this day, I don't know who they are and I love that.
Okay.
I don't even know
so
what
you
the
just
tent
stumble
was.
Across people then.
There's a lot
along
of stumbling, all right, especially by 10 o'clock at night. Yeah.
That was an unintentional word, but probably very apt at the same time. Where do festivals then fit into the story?
Well, I mean, obviously, like, I was just talking to you there just beforehand. Like, when you think about it, like, back in 2011, is it Oxygen? I think it was Oxygen.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching Coldplay, late at night, and there was a bit of noise coming from that tent over there. I wish it would shut up. That was Beyonce. Like, when you think, and there was Arctic
huge
Monkeys that weekend,
name.
And there was, like, what do you call it, Black Eyed Peas and all that. Like, it was huge headliner stuff. So festivals, I think people now go to festivals more for the festival than, you know, the music is just one of the biggest attractions. And always the ads for them are, they're wellness and there's food and there's everything else, you know. It used to be, you know, go down and see a bunch of stages and just see bands. But that's the way it is, you know.
Yeah, but I think as well, I mean, for a lot of people, they are going down to see the music. They're going down to either...
God, of course.
You know,
I
like,
could be wrong. The music is the centre of it. But at the same time, I think... Honestly, the music revolves around the festival now more than the festival revolving around the music.
I do want to ask you about the 90s because I suppose we get a little bit more into modern rock and you know, the revelation of the Cranberries and I love them now. Actually, before I ask you that, we're going to have a quick bit of Dreams. So, I mean, like, what a song.
Dolores is in that programme, I mean, obviously, like, there was a lot, enough, like, Whipping Boy and Emotional Fish and, you know, the N17, Saw Doctors, all that's in that programme too. It's 10 programmes every Thursday night. Number 6 is tonight at 10 o'clock and that means there's... So that means there's 5 left of 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I was literally just about to say, don't forget to listen to Dave's History of Irish Rock on Radio 1.
To Hosier's current number one, the first Irish person to get a number one in America since Sinead 33 years ago. And that's the difference with the music too. The amount of people who would have known Sinead's song at the time, the amount of people who don't know Hosier's song, it's just the whole thing has changed, you know.
Really, and of course, if people want to listen back to all that as well, of course, they can go to the radio app, RTE radio app as well. Thank you so much,
Thanks,
Dave,
Anna.
For coming in as usual. That's it from us today. Stay tuned to Drive Time with Cormac and we will talk to you tomorrow at 3.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.